Good morning, everyone. Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. This is going to be a long play edition of the podcast. I'm not exactly sure how long we'll go. It won't be for an eternity, but longer than normal and with great stuff. Stick with me. I drive a million miles to be with you tonight. So if you feel it is beginning to feel a little bit like fall, isn't it? Things are getting a little cooler, feeling good. Kids going out the door wearing jackets some days. I love it. I love fall a lot. And it's been a good fall morning. I spent some time this morning with Matt Lockett. Matt is the executive director of Bound for Life. Bound for Life is a prayer ministry located in Washington, D.C., focusing on praying for the U.S. Supreme Court in regards to the issue of life. They've been on the steps of the Supreme Court just for years. I mean, 12, 14 years, I guess. We started in late 04, early 05 when Kelsey and I were there. So that's been 11 years, I guess. We've been doing it and been involved with them. Matt's the executive director. He's been in town, and he and I had coffee this morning. And while we were talking, I thought, man, I got to record part of this because there are people who will want to hear this. If you're not familiar with him, go to bound4life.com. And if you've ever seen the red tape people with life written across it, standing in prayer, that's Bound for Life. That's who that is. So we'll be talking to Matt again in a few minutes. And just so you know, the audio recording is not great. We're literally sitting in a coffee shop surrounded by people, but it was too rich not to include. So it's about a 5 or 6 minute segment with Matt, and I appreciate him doing that. Also, today we're going to talk about the cost of adoption. If there is a question that I get asked over and over again, it is, why does it cost so much? I mean, 5, 6, 7 times a day. And so we're going to be going through a fee schedule for an adoption. And we're going to talk about what we charge as opposed to what other people charge and why we charge what we charge and what that money goes for. Looking forward to that as well. Also, one last bit. We're going to touch on it again towards the end, but we're going to talk about the matching grant opportunity that we have here at Zoe's House. We've been given an opportunity to double all donations for the next couple of weeks, up to $25,000. We could see $50,000 for birth moms, for adoptive families, for children, if people step up and participate. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. It's a good day to talk about it because we're talking about where that money goes. Looking forward to being with you for the morning. Hope that you've got a cup of coffee and a little time to listen. Maybe you're in the car. Whatever the case, it's going to be fun. Be back in just a minute as we talk to Matt Lockett live at the time from a coffee shop. Matt Lockett, where we have in the last 36 hours, I think, had probably like 14 cups of coffee together.
Successfully.
We're draining these coffee cups like crazy. Anyway, as we were finishing up a conversation, I just thought I'd ask him a few questions for the podcast. So you've been in D.C. running Bound for Life for how long?
Well, that's interesting. We, in a few weeks, October 4th will be our 12-year anniversary.
So October 12th.
Big milestone.
October 4th, 12 years of prayer in D.C. In front of the court and on behalf of the unborn. Two questions for you. First being, how can we pray for Bound for Life? This is a big deal. It's close to our hearts. It has a lot to do with why we launched Zoe's House. So we're vested in this. How can we pray for you guys?
Yeah. You know, this has been an interesting year because we've gone through a really unprecedented session of the Supreme Court this last year. And we began this summer, so the court ends in June, and we began the summer really downhearted. We had 8 pro-life cases before the court in this session. That's never happened before. We kind of felt like as we were going into this 12-year anniversary cycle, real big milestone for us, we thought we were going to end on a high point.
Because let me stop here for a second, because you guys have been standing in front of the court praying for years when there's been no case at all.
Yeah, you know, we've waited, and people have stopped and said, they see us praying, and they assume.
What's going on inside? Yeah. We don't know. Nothing.
What are they listening to right now? They assume people are in the building at that moment, and we're like, actually, you know, nothing. Yeah. Years go by, and then all of a sudden,
we're not talking to them.
As the years have gone on, we get into the last 2-3 years, and there's been a lot of activity going on. And in this last session, there were 8 pro-life cases, which is really, you know, extraordinary. And we were contending like never before. We felt like it was going to be that 12-year high point for us, and it actually ended at a low point because we didn't see those cases go the way that we wanted it to go. And we've had this question, you know, like, well, what's next? You know, like, you know, what's Bound for Life going to do now? And it's almost had this this feeling like, you know, well, that didn't work. Now what are you going to do? And the reality is this is ongoing. We don't think that, you know, what looks like a failure with these cases, we don't think that's the last word by any means. And, you know, we kind of get pushed through our own emotions of that for, you know, the summer months. And now I've been talking with state legislators that are responsible. They're really on the front lines for where these cases originate. You know, they'll do something in a state, it gets challenged in court, and then it starts a process. And the legislators are in high spirits. They recognize that the culture has shifted in the last 5 years. They realize that the momentum is on our side, and it really does come down to what's the right strategy. You know, what's actually going to work in the courts, and they don't see what looks like failure to, you know, so many people, and I would say especially the pro-abortion people. They're sort of like twiddling their fingers in glee, like, yay, and they don't realize that they're facing a massive cultural shift on the issue, and they're the ones that are actually reeling back on their heels. And, you know, we're looking at the court day after day, and we're just going to keep moving forward. We're going to stick as close to the vision as we can.
You know, talking about that that culture shift, I noticed something on the Roe v. Wade anniversary, with March for Life Day. Mm-hmm. I was in D.C. in the snowstorm with everybody else.
That wasn't a snowstorm. That was a blizzard.
That was a blizzard. Well, when you're North Dakota, and that's a snowstorm.
Okay,
that was just we would have had school that day in North Dakota. But something I noticed among the pro-abortion folks was their protests were a little panicky.
Yeah.
Like, they were irrational. Mm-hmm. Bizarre. Like, if you were only observing, you would have said these people are losing because they were reacting so bizarre, and their chants and everything. It was crazy.
You can always tell when they're panicky because they will fall back on old concepts, old arguments that really the culture doesn't believe anymore. You know, it's all fear-based.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really depend on that shock value, fear-based, coat hanger mentality.
Oh, yeah.
That nobody in America thinks by a long shot that that's the reality anymore.
Now, people walking around in scrubs with fake blood all over them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to be the rational, progressive perspective?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And so you'll get like a half a dozen. There's four, literally, you know, there's 100,000 people in a blizzard.
Right.
And those are the ones whose planes didn't get canceled, you know.
Yeah.
And they're in the snow, and they're moving forward with, I think really, you know, I don't want to call it a game-winning strategy. It's just that they've stayed the course,
right.
and truth is on their side. And then you get 6 people in those scrubs, and that's what gets put on the news.
Right.
And so there's a very disproportionate dispersion of that kind of fear-based mentality, and it's not working, honestly. You know, you see it infiltrating into the campaigns right now for this upcoming election, and I don't think Americans are buying it anymore.
Yeah. So looking down the road 6 months, a year, what do you see for Bound for Life?
It's a good question. You know, we are now turning our focus to what's going to be the next thing to come through the courts, which is a primary focus for us. But when I look at the grassroots, when I see the chapters that are Bound for Life chapters all around the country, they're praying consistently in front of abortion centers and in front of these lower courts around the country. They're praying for their state legislators. You know, one of the things that's happening is I'm seeing more and more relationships develop between the prayer people and the state legislators. This is happening all over the place, more than I was ever aware of before. And I just have a lot of faith that groundwork's being laid for a good future, a good positive direction for the pro-life movement. I think it remains to be seen what those strategies are going to be. I think the pro-abortion crowd is trying to second-guess what those strategies are going to be. And to an extent, they've been somewhat effective in, like, you know, cutting those off. But I don't think they're going to be effective in the long run. I see too much legwork happening, too much positive stuff happening at the grassroots, that I think in the next, you know, few years, we're going to see some really innovative strategies emerge that really the lies aren't going to be able to withstand.
Well, we are grateful for what you guys are doing there. We feel connected at the hip with Bound for Life. The more that we do this, the more interwoven I see the pro-life movement in a healthy way. Last week, I was at a large crisis pregnancy center banquet in Atlanta, and you know, we speak the same language. A lot of what we do bleeds over to what they do. We're grateful for how you tie in with all of it, and we love you and Kim and your kids. We just look forward to great things in D.C.
Well, we love you guys too. Thank you.
And there you have it, 5 minutes, 7 minutes maybe with Matt Lockett this morning. Great time. Love them. Pray for them as they travel back to Washington, D.C., and just lead the nation in prayer in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, doing amazing work. If you want to find them, you can go to Bound, the number four, Life, boundforlife.com. Now, I've been approached on Facebook a couple of times in the last week and in person on the phone. I'm asked this constantly about adoption expenses because people have the idea that not everybody's motivated this way, but there's a general sense that if you're going to do something like adopt, which can be perceived as a noble thing, that you should be able to do a noble thing and it not cost you through the nose. Like, for some reason, a noble thing should be free. I don't know exactly what the logic is there, but yes, you are doing good, and why are we spending so much to do good? And I say that as someone who has spent a lot to do some good. All of our adoptions, we had to raise money for all of them. I would say Zoe's was probably the most expensive, and we maybe spent $35,000 total in getting her home. Don't regret any of that. She'll be 10 years old in a couple of weeks. Can you believe that? Zoe will be 10. And so that was 10 years ago we spent $35,000. We're hearing of people spending $45,000 and $50,000. We're hearing it every once in a while. We're hearing it constantly. Now, here at Zoe's house, our fees aren't that high. Our fees are considerably less, but people still want to go, where does that money go and how does that work? I am not answering for the agency that's spending $50,000. I don't have to, because I'm not doing that. So I'm not going to respond to somebody else's expectations. But I will talk about our own fees, what they are, what we do with them. And then before I do that, though, maybe why we raise money to do what we do. Our fees don't cover our expenses. In fact, we joke about it. The more adoptions we do, the more we have to go raise money, because the adoptions are expensive and we're not charging people the full amounts. And so that's why we have this matching grant available, because years ago we started a foundation that would help people with adoption expenses. And that's what you do, don't you? You go, oh, that costs money. Let's help people do that. So we were giving people $1,500 to $3,000 grants to help with their adoption. In many cases, their adoptions cost as much as ours did, and they were spending $30,000 or $40,000 to adopt a baby. If you are facing a $30,000 or $40,000 bill, me giving you $3,000 is appreciated, but it doesn't change your world. It's not like suddenly you go, oh, well, you know what? I've got $3,000. I can do this. It's a little bit like telling somebody, I'm going to buy you a car. I'm going to make the first payment. Well, thanks. That's great to get the first payment, but now if I can't make the payments, I can't do it. We found that giving grants, in our case, was not changing anybody's ability to go ahead and adopt. It was just helping people who had already decided. And I had a real heart for the young couple that were out there working a job and just were never going to come up with $30,000. It just was never going to happen. And I thought, they could be great parents. This should not stop them. And so we started Zoe's House doing it differently, where we raise money and we use that to pay down the expenses of the agency so that the fees that we charge everybody are considerably less. And even though our fees are, I'd say somewhere in the ratio of a fourth to a third of what anybody will pay anywhere else, we still have people go, why do you charge that much money? So let me just, this is what I've done today. I asked one of my staff to print off the fee schedule, and I'm just going to look at it and go down the line and say, these are things that you would pay for, and this is why. If you come to us and adopt, you immediately pay a $250 pre-application fee. And that application fee goes towards helping us process. When you think you've done a lot of work and filled out the paperwork, you sent it to us. We have hours and hours and hours into verifying things, into checking them out, into... And so in the meantime, we have people working on your paperwork on this side. And that's what that fee covers, is taking care of those folks to do all the due diligence. I'll be honest, if you tell us I work at so-and-so and this is what I do, we don't take your word for it. We just don't. We check everything out. And all of that, of course, takes a lot of time. There's also a background check fee that we have listed on our fee schedule of $45 to $60. Now, that's not paid to us. That's paid to the state. You have to do a background fee or a background check to adopt. It just makes sense. And that's not something we control, but we're glad that we do it. We also have what we call a home study fee. Now, a home study is something that is, it's part education, it's part a report about your family, and that will cost about $1,300. We don't ask for all that up front. We ask for half of it at the beginning and half when it's done. We're a little bit unique in home study process in that we call it a process with you, and you will see your home study before it's finished. We don't necessarily just file it away. I'll be honest, I don't know if I ever even read my home study when we adopted. I probably should have. Now that I've read a few, I kind of wished I had. But we just passed it on because they said, yeah, you're qualified. But we sit down with families and they read the home study and they may come back and go, you know, I don't know that this was represented right. And we'll have to talk about this more. And we want to get your story right. And so that's very, very time intensive, that $1,300 that you give us. Our reports are about 20 to 25 pages long. And it takes some work to get all that done. And so that's the home study fee of about $1,300. That is very common. As far as an expense, you may pay $100 more or $100 less everywhere, but pretty much everywhere in our area, that's what a home study costs. If you're in Kentucky and you're adopting through Zoe's House, then somebody in Kentucky does your home study, and we help you find that person, but you pay them. That's not money that comes to us. And the expense may be different. We've heard in some places it's high as $2,000. In some places, it's a little bit less. It's market-driven, and the busier people are, the more the fee is. Ours is $1,300. It's not going to change. After that, we have what we call the match fee. Let's say we find a birth mom, and she seems to have the same goals that you do, and this is a good idea, and it seems good to the Lord, and it seems good to us, and it seems good to her. You pay the match fee. That's the largest expense by far, and it is normally the one that is $30,000. We charge $7,500. Now, you say, how can you do that? Does it, you know, because we are out raising money constantly. It costs us significantly more to do the home study, or I'm sorry, more to do the match than what we charge people. We charge 50% at the match when we have arranged that, okay, this is a good match. We charge 50%. Then we charge the other 50, 30 days prior to birth. That is a great theory. It doesn't always work because sometimes we don't find out about the birth until there's 30 days and it's all kind of due at once. And well, and people say, do you take payments? No, because the electric company doesn't take payments and our rent has to be paid on time. And so we're just not able to do that. Now, there have been times where we fudged a couple of days because people could tell us where the money was coming from. We want that to work. Our fees are already so low that we can't really stretch that out over time. So that is that. Now, other things that a family is going to pay are things like a court appearance. They're going to pay for their lawyer. You say, well, how much, you know, is the lawyer going to cost? Well, it kind of depends on the case, but round number, maybe $1,500, maybe $2,000. But that's, again, between you and your lawyer. That's not something that we pay. There are other things that are going to cost money, like your birth mother care. Do you, as an adoptive family, pay some amount of the care for the birth mom? Now, that is capped in the states that we work in. And it's about a $3,500 range, something like that. In other words, that's not going to cost you $10,000. That's not going to cost you $5,000. The state only allows us to do so much. Now, do we do more? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes the girl just needs more help than can be provided by the person paying the bills. And so we find people that can help, but that does not come out of your pocket. Again, that's our commitment to doing adoption well and just caring for people. That $3,500 does not include our staff members' time. And there are a lot of times when a young woman comes in and is talking about adoption, she's in the process of making the decision. She hasn't made the decision yet. And so we give her as much time as she needs, and in many times have hours and hours and hours invested in her, and she comes to the decision that she can parent. We don't consider that a loss. We consider that a win, but we have a lot of time. I'm thinking recently of a time we probably had 40 hours of work. I had a staff member with someone for about 40 hours over the course of about 10 days as they helped them kind of organize their life, helped them figure out living situation, helped them figure out a lot of different things, did a lot of counseling. When it was done, they said, I think I'm supposed to parent. And we said, God bless you. But we don't have anybody to bill for that. Okay, it's not like we can turn around and roll that onto another adoption. So in other words, that is an expense that we pay that nobody else has to pay. Now, that's why we raise money, is so that families can adopt for about a third of what Kelsey and I did. And we did it repeatedly, and we raised the money. But I understand not everybody is wired that way. Not everybody can do it. Some of you are thinking $7,500. I could never come up with $7,500. I might as well be saying $75,000. I'm not surprised if you don't have $7,500 in your pocket. When we said yes to adoption, I don't know if we had $200 in our checking account. Seriously. We raised it, and we can help you do that. We can help you understand how to do that. Some people can get a home equity loan. Other people can talk to family members. Some people take second jobs. The gap between $7,500 and $30,000 is a lot of money. And so we just believe it's something that people can bite off and say, no, we can work towards this. Somehow we can make this work. Now, this hasn't been the point of this whole podcast, but I am going to throw this out one more time. If you're listening to this and going, this is really interesting, but we could never adopt, and that's not our calling right now. Great. Can you help somebody? For real. Can you do something that will allow us to do this for other families at a discounted rate? Will you do something that will help me be able to look at a staff member and say, yes, take the day, go spend it with that expectant mother, take care of her needs, drive her to the doctor's office, spend time with her, talk it through without worrying, is she going to make an adoption plan? Because if she decides to parent, because we believe in life, we believe that's still a win. Our work increasingly spilling over into expectant mother care that looks a lot like what happens at crisis pregnancy centers. Now, by the time they come to us, they really haven't, let's see, they haven't made a decision for adoption, but they're probably decided on life. Most of them have not decided, they're not wrestling with abortion. They come to us and say, yeah, we want to make a life plan. We're wondering if adoption is right. So we're continuing the work of a crisis pregnancy center in helping them sort out their life plan, look at their life goals. And we say yes to them in the way of giving them time and encouragement and attention, whether they decide to make an adoption plan or not. And if that seems like a good approach to you, then I'm just going to flat ask you for help. This does not go to my pocketbook. This goes to our operating budget. Our operating budget helps us say yes and not no, helps us care for young women, helps us get them the resources that they need, helps us have a staff member that carries a phone that is on 24/7, and anytime they call, they're available to have a real life person. They don't get a recorded message ever. They don't get a, hey, we'll talk to you on Monday when we open. We recently had a weekend where we had a staff member work all weekend with a young woman, and we were glad to be able to do that and provide salary for somebody to do that. If that seems good to you, we're in a unique window here where we can, for every dollar you give, we can find a dollar somewhere else from a matching grant, and we can double your money. Matching grants are unusual. You know, they stretch people to do things they wouldn't normally do. I remember when we were first moved to Cincinnati, our host church that we were a part of was working on their building, and they had a matching grant. And I remember Kelsey and I coming up with a donation that really exceeded what we normally would have been able to give. But we did it because we knew that for every dollar we gave, there was actually a little more that was being given. I think we scraped together $500, and we were so excited because we made $1,000 worth of impact. Maybe you can do that now. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can do 10, but 10 means 20. 10 is better than 10. And this is a great opportunity for us. If you go to Zoe's House Adoptions.com, Zoe's House Adoptions.com, there's a donate button at the bottom. Mash that, and we just ask you to give liberally, knowing that there's twice as much coming towards birth moms, towards adoptive families, and towards babies. Twice as much as the number you're going to put in that box. It's a great opportunity. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any more questions about fees and that sort of thing, go ahead and email me, randy@zoeshouseadoptions.com. I'd be happy to answer them directly via email or perhaps on another podcast. Hope that your day is a good one. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you next week.
Never was much good at hoping until you took my heart and tore it.